Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this evening for our scripture reading to the Old Testament and the book of 2 Samuel. Going to look tonight by the help of God at two contrasting reactions to Christ. 2 Samuel and the chapter 6, 2 Samuel and the chapter 6. And we will just read for the sake of time for the first 12 verses of this chapter. 2 Samuel, chapter 6 and the verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Asa and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord in all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzza put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzza, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzza, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzza unto this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Amen. We look to the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight. Can we just still our hearts in a word of prayer as we ask for the Lord's help and for his speaking voice as we come to his word tonight. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, as we come to thy precious word for this hour, realize, O God, again just how much we need the help of the Spirit. And O God, we pray that you'll bless us tonight. We pray, O God, that you'll take the word of God and apply it to all of our hearts. We pray, Lord, that this night that you'll so work in hearts and lives. We pray, O God, that this night that the voice of God will be heard far beyond the voice of any preacher. We pray, O God, that you'll move in hearts and work in hearts, O God, we pray. And Lord, we ask of thee that the solemnity of these truths of which we have been reading tonight will fall upon us. O God, we pray that this night sinners in their sin will be brought to Christ. Lord, that they'll heed the gospel message, that they will be saved. O God, we pray that you'll challenge and encourage every child of God. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. We pray to tonight as well through thy precious word. And Lord, lead us with thyself and help us, O God. Lord, we pray now that as we come to the preaching and to the hearing of thy precious word, that you'll give thy help. Give help from the sanctuary of God tonight. Give the help of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Answer prayer for us. Bless us now as we further wait on, and as we look into thy word and meditate upon it in these closing moments of this meeting. We pray, O God, that thy word will live in each and every heart. Answer prayer for us. We pray this in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. As the word of God is preached and as the person of Christ in the gospel is presented to a dying world, there is always some type of reaction. If you've ever stood in the open air, as I know many of you have, you will have witnessed those who are totally opposed to what is being preached. Some will be openly hostile to what they hear. They'll become so filled with malice and hatred in their hearts toward the gospel that they will seek to abuse even those who are preaching the gospel. Others will not be so blatant in their opposition, but nonetheless, they will just simply, quietly choose to ignore it as if it had no application or no significance in their life. But thank God for those who, when they hear the gospel preached, and when they hear of their need of Christ and they hear of Christ as he is presented in the gospel, they respond with gladness and they respond with openness and they receive the word, they obey the word which is brought to them. You see, these two different reactions have always been characteristic of mankind in their response to Jesus Christ. You think of the dying thieves on the cross. One rejected Christ and the other accepted Christ. And down through the generations and right even to this very present age, mankind has either accepted Christ or rejected him. You see, folks, tonight, as far as the things of God are concerned, there is no middle ground. There are those who today will just tell us that they're thinking about these things. They're deciding about these things. They're deciding, they're thinking about whether to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. But you see, there is no middle ground as far as the gospel is concerned. You're either for Christ or you are against him. But you say to me tonight, but preacher, I am good living, I am upright, I am moral, I do all that I can. I am not against Christ. I am not against the preaching and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, tonight, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are not saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and have your sins washed in his precious blood, then you are against Christ. You are not for him. You are against him. And as we come to consider these verses that we have read in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see these two reactions again in view. But before we come to consider these reactions for time tonight, we want to give you the context and consider exactly what is going on here. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, the main focus is the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Lord. For over 75 years, the Ark of the Covenant had been absent from the house of God at Shiloh. Shiloh was the meeting place for the Israelites. It was where the temple was located, and it was there that the Ark of the Covenant had been kept. But the Philistines had captured the Ark the time that Eli was judge. But then they promptly handed it back whenever God judged them for taking the ark. You remember how their false god, Dagon, the image was broken in pieces, and God sent judgment upon the people. And the people didn't want anything more to do with this ark. But still this ark was not in its rightful place. And so it was David's intention and David's desire to bring the ark to Jerusalem so that there he could set up a sanctuary And there he could set up a place of worship where God's people would meet and the ark would be center stage. David placed great emphasis on the ark of the covenant. For him it was the most important piece of furniture. Of course, the ark had a very prominent position. And so David wanted to replicate that in the sanctuary that he would build in Jerusalem. Now, we're not going to do a study of the ark tonight. It's a wonderful study, and to consider all that it teaches to us. But suffice to say that the ark of the Lord represented the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It signified his work, it signified his person, who he was. It was covered in gold, spoke of his kingship. The ark had various items placed inside it. There was the tablets of stone in which the law were written, the jar of manna, there was the rod of Aaron that budded. And each one of those particular items were not just items put in there without any thought. Each one of them in their own way pointed to Christ. The tablets of stone, the law, spoke of Christ, who was the one who kept the law perfectly in its precept and in its penalty. There was the manna, the jar of manna, he who is the bread of life to our souls. There was the Aaron's rod that budded. It spoke of the resurrection of Christ. It also spoke of the priesthood of Christ. And then on the ark rest at the mercy seat. And of course, that speaks of the atonement of Christ's shed blood. It speaks tonight of he who is our mercy seat, who of course is Christ. It speaks of a covering for sin. And so the ark represented Christ, spoke of Christ, pointed to Christ and his gospel. And as David set out to bring the ark to Jerusalem, we see in the first half of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 6, two different contrasting reactions to the ark. And so if, as we have said, the ark represented Christ, there are different reactions to Christ. First of all, I want you to see with me tonight a reaction that damned a soul. A reaction, a response that damned a soul. Look in the words of verse number 7. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him, that is Uzzah, there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Why was God so angered towards Uzzah that Uzzah was cut off right at that very instant? Let me suggest to you some reasons as to why that was the case. Uzzah tried to please God in his own way. You see, when we come to talk about the Ark of the Covenant, God had given, as he always does, very specific instructions about it. If you turn back with me, please, to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers and the chapter 7. And here in this chapter, there are instructions as to how the ark was to be transported. Numbers chapter 7, and look at the verse 9. Numbers chapter 7 and verse 9. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them, that was unto the sons of Kohath, was that they should bear upon their shoulders. That was, they were to bear, they were to carry the Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders. That was how the Ark was to be transported. That was God's laid down plan. It was their privilege for these people to carry the ark into the tabernacle. But notice how the ark is transported. Turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and the verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. They set the ark of God upon a new cart. Oh, it wasn't just any old cart, it was a new cart. The very best, no doubt, that they could find. But that was not how God had commanded that the ark should be transported. It was to be carried by the sons of Kohath, no matter where it went. That was their special privilege. But man thought they knew better. They could set aside God's way and do it their way. And you know, whenever we come to think of the gospel and saving grace and how a man can be right with God, isn't it so often the case that man will set aside God's way and always seek to do it his way? Maybe tonight you're in this meeting and you know the gospel message inside out. You know that Christ died for your sins. You know that he went to the cross, shed his precious blood that you might be saved. And you know the gospel story inside out. And yet tonight you think the way that you are going, the way that you are seeking to please God is good enough in itself. The way they handled the ark of God, what they did with Christ, because remember it's pointing to Christ, speaking to Christ, is often how the ungodly would handle him. You see, by placing the ark, this was following the pattern of the pagan Philistines. Because they placed the ark on a cart. They thought they were doing right. But they were doing wrong. They thought they could please God by their own efforts, by their own plans. But they weren't doing it God's way. And you know, apart from the gospel application there's a tremendous application even to the Church of Jesus Christ today. There are many people who will tell us today in the Church of Jesus Christ that we lay aside those God-ordained methods of seeking to win souls. People will tell you tonight, preaching is outdated. Bring in the dance bands, bring in the mime artists, bring in the band and all the rest of it, and that'll bring the crowds in, and that will please God. No, it won't please God, because God has said, God has ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. So there's a wonderful and a very telling application to the Church of Jesus Christ today. When we do things God's way, God blesses it. And it is so true as well in the matter of salvation. Man tries to please God his way. Man will try to seek to get to God and get to heaven his own way. People will say to you when you speak to them about the gospel, when you speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll say, well, what's wrong with my way? What's wrong with what I'm doing? There's nothing wrong with it. Oh, there are many ways to Christ, and you go your way, I go my way, and surely we'll get all there in the end. But you know, such folly will only damn and destroy your soul. As we were speaking this morning, man doesn't want to hear about repentance. Man doesn't want to hear about forgiveness of sin. Man doesn't want to hear about turning from sin and turning to Christ. They'll tell you, I don't need this slaughterhouse religion. I'll live the best I can. I'll attend my church. I'll say my prayers. I'll do it my way. You will not get to heaven your way. If you're not going the way of the cross tonight, you're not going to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, though that great I am saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door to heaven. I am the way to heaven. No other way, no other way. You see, Christ died on the cross of Calvary because man could not work his way to God. Man, no matter how often he tried and no matter how hard he would try, could never be reconciled to a holy and a just God through his own efforts. It took the death of his dear Son upon the cross to reconcile this world, to save us from sin. There was no other way, and there is no other way but through Christ. There is a way, the wise man tells us, that seemeth right. A way that seemeth right. And people will tell you tonight, but the way I'm on, it seems okay for me. But the ends thereof are the ways of death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Eternal death, separation from God for all eternity. You see, tonight, if you're not going God's way, you're not going at all. Trying to please God your own way. Trying to come up with your own inventions and do it your way, but it'll never work. In verse number 6, we see as well that Uzzah, he sinned against God. In verse number 6, we read, "And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it." He touched it. It doesn't seem a very significant thing to do. But again, God had given very specific commands about the ark. You turn back again to Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. We see the command that God had given. Numbers chapter 4 and the verse 15. "And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary, and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die." They were not to touch it. Why? When we come back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, why did Uzzah put forth his hand to touch it? It was because it shook. It was coming on to the threshing floor. And it was about to fall. And Uzzah put forth his hand to touch it. But again, that was breaking the law and the commandment of God. You see, if they had been carrying it as they should have been, it wouldn't have shook. If it wasn't on the new cart, it would never have shook. You see, one sin leads to another sin. The first sin of carrying the ark on a new cart promoted then this second sin, the touching. Sin produces sin. And you know, whenever you lay aside the standards and the teachings of Scripture, whenever you lay aside the commands of God, then anything goes. You will do that which seems right in your own eyes. And that's exactly what was happening here. Sin upon sin. We live in a world today that has a very light, a very low view of sin. We live in a world today that a man commits sin and really, they don't think about it. Last week we were speaking about the events of last Saturday down in the city centre. There was no shame in their sin. There was no blushing. They were openly parading their sin before all who cared to look. But sin is a terrible thing in the sight of a holy God. While it may be passed off as a small matter, even a little thing, Even a little setting aside of the law of God, it's still sin because, as our shorter catechism tells us, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of death. And the wages of sin is death. And that's exactly what is happening here. Do not think tonight that your sin is a light thing. Maybe you say to me, but I'm not really like those other people. I'm not committing the crimes that we hear of committed on a daily basis in our newspapers and our television screens. I'm not doing those awful things that are happening across the face of this world. No, you may not be. But by nature, you're born in sin. And sin in its various shapes and various forms is sin. You might want to gloss it over. You might want to paint it up. You might want to try to hide it. But whatever it is, it's sin. And it is sin that separates you from a holy God. And there is only one way that your sin can be forgiven. And that's not through your own inventions. It's not through your own ideologies. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And without the application of that blood of Jesus Christ being shed, applied to your heart by faith, your sins will never be forgiven. Let me ask you tonight, question we asked last week, are you under the blood? Are your sins covered by the blood? Not are your sins covered by your own good works, your own self-righteousness. Are your sins covered and cleansed by the precious blood of Christ? Because it's only through that, only through Him, that there is forgiveness. A reaction that destroyed and damned a soul. How sad it would be, those tonight sitting in this meeting, like us it was so close, and yet a soul was damned. God cut him off. He never thought that things would work out the way they did that day. And that's just the way people live. We live today with death all around us. Young people, older people, cut off in a moment of time, and yet people fail to realize that it could be them. In any moment, at any time, we could be cut off. And how is it with your soul? A reaction that destroyed a soul. But I want you to see as well with me here as we close tonight, a reaction that saved a soul. We read of another man that day who witnessed the events that took place. He saw the death of Uzzah in such a dramatic and in such a sudden way. His name, we come to him in verse number 10, was Obed-Edom. His reaction is very different. A man we know very little about. Yet what we do know teaches us much about this man. The ark, if you notice there in verse 10, was carried into his house. Verse 11, we read that it continued in his house. As we think of this man, Obed-Edom, as we bring this message to a close, notice the lesson that he learned. Do you know what Obed-Edom learned that day? He learned that God was a holy God. He learned that that day God's law is true, God's law is right, and God will judge sin. He saw just how holy God was. There was a warning. There was a message. And you know, oftentimes in the events of life, God is seeking to get our attention. Sinner, tonight you look at the events that happen across the face of this world. You see how people are cut off in a moment of time, and vast numbers of people are cut off in a moment of time. What is God saying? God's trying to get your attention. God is giving you a warning. Yet how sad people feel to apprehend it. Many are dying suddenly and taken out into eternity and without warning. And yet all the time God is saying, you will die like they die. Prepare therefore to meet me. You see, tonight the world fails to grasp the uncertainty of life. The world fails to grasp the reality of death. They go on as if they will never die. And people tonight, people across East Belfast tonight are living as if they will never die. They're living as if they will one day never stand before a holy God and give an account of their life. They're living as if they will die as a dog and that'll be all it. Obed-Edom learned that death is sure, death is certain. He realized he was not going to live forever. He realized that he needed to receive Christ. He realized that God was holy. God was going to judge sin. Oh, that this night you would be wise. Oh, that this night you would understand. This night you would consider your latter end. Here was Obed-Edom, and he witnessed death right before his eyes. A person, no doubt, in the best of health, and yet cut off. And yet he did what the only thing he could do. He received the ark, speaking again, pointing of Christ, into his house. In other words, he went to Christ. You see, tonight, isn't it sad whenever people see those things that happen across our city and they hear of terrible events? Rather than running to Christ, they run deeper into their sin. Oh, tonight, sinner in this meeting, realize that you're under the wrath and the condemnation of God. Realize that at any moment that wrath could fall. At any moment your life could be cut off. Tonight flee to Christ. Run to Christ. Obed-Edom learned that day something that caused him to turn to Christ. Oh, rather than complaining about what had happened, he accepted the very thing that was the reason for Uzzah's death. He accepted Christ. It was carried, as we said in verse number 10, as it should have been into his house. He was receiving the ark. The greatest wisdom that any man or woman, young person can ever have is not his deep knowledge of the truths and the facts and the figures, but rather the greatest knowledge that anyone can have tonight is the awareness of their sin and the need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. The one who destroys a soul because of disobedience to God's law, thank God tonight, is the same one who can save a soul because of obedience to his accepted way of salvation. Oh, that this night that you would receive Jesus Christ, that you would come his way and stop trying it your way. Stop trying to come to God your own way, but rather this night come to Jesus Christ. Come God's way, the way of the cross. Notice the blessings that he received. This man was wise. He learned many lessons that death was sure. He learned the lesson that God always punishes sin. When he received the ark into his house, his life was blessed. His life was blessed. If you look at the end of verse number 11, let's read the entire verse together. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Tonight, this world is looking for the blessing of God. Tonight, this world is looking for favor, for peace, for blessing. The only blessing tonight that is worth having is the blessing of salvation and the blessing of Christ in the gospel. Here was a man who saw the awful events that unfolded before him that day, and he openly received this ark which represented Christ into his heart, into his home. And the Lord blessed him. You want blessing tonight in your life? You want joy tonight in your life? You want to know what this life is all about? Let Jesus come into your heart. That little chorus, often sung in Sunday school and children's meetings, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. The blessing of God. The greatest blessing in your life tonight is to know sins forgiven, have peace with God, pardon from sin, all through Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when the Lord blesses your life, others will know about it. Verse number 12. The message got to King David. It was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom." What a change the gospel would bring to your life and to your home. What a wonderful trophy of grace you would be tonight if this night you were to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The greatest advertisement for the gospel is a life changed and transformed by the gospel. And let it be told around. Let people hear that that person received Jesus Christ. That person's life has been changed. That person's life has been transformed. There's something different. Because the gospel brings a change. Whenever you receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life, there will be a change. One Bible commentator said, whenever a sinner receives Christ into their heart, you'll not need a microscope to find them. That's the change that the gospel must bring. Things are different. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Challenge even to every child of God. Are we living our lives that others see the difference, others see the change in our life? Christ always brings a change, and others will see it. How tonight will you react to this message? I'm not asking you tonight, what do you think of this preacher? Or what do you think of his preaching? You probably don't think much and you'd be right. It's not about this preacher. It's not about his preaching. Tonight, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? How will you react and respond to him tonight? Will you try to please God your own way? Rather, in simple faith, will you receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life and realize that he is the only way? You cannot be neutral. You're either for him or you're against him. Tonight, before this meeting is over, and before we leave this place, you will make a decision. You will decide either to continue to reject him, as you have been all your life, or this night you'll decide to receive him. I pray that this night you would receive Jesus Christ into your heart. Realize that death is sure. Death could come at any time. But this night, if you're saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you'll be able to say that come life or come death, it's well with your soul. Is it well with your soul tonight? Are you in Christ? Or are you out of Christ? Are you saved by God's grace? Or are you still lost in your sin? This night, come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And the Lord will bless your life as well. Crown it with His salvation. Come to Christ tonight. We can help you in any way. You're concerned about your soul. Speak to us. Make sure that this night you're right before the Lord. Make sure that this night you're saved and you're ready for heaven. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven,